Matt Williamson and Ryan McDowell.
Welcome to another Dynasty Blueprint. I'm your host, Ryan McDowell. I'm here with Matt Williamson. Matt, how are things?
Things are terrific. A little bit busy today, but this is the first day this week I was not at Steeler minicamp, so that was kind of nice. Slept in a little bit. How's everything with you?
It's good. Summer break is here, so it's really good. Any noteworthy things to share with us from Steelers camp?
No, not really. Antonio Brown wasn't mean about it or anything, but he criticized Lev Bell for not being there, and ever since that day, Brown hasn't showed up. So that's great. I mean, that's, you know, typical AB type stuff. Ben hasn't been there the last few days either. No biggie on any of those. And there were two injuries. Hawkins, an offensive tackle, and McGee, a deep tight end, both went down right in front of us as we were broadcasting. So, but all in all, pretty uneventful, I would say.
Yeah, that's probably a good thing this time of year.
Yeah, right. That's what you're looking for.
Well, Matt, today we are going to answer some more Dynasty questions. We're going to clean out our mailbag from our listeners. And as always, we've got some good ones. First question comes from Michael. Michael says, every fantasy football podcast host talks about trading back in Dynasty rookie drafts. That's the trend this year. How bad is it just to stay where I am, pick the best player? What percentage of your draft picks do you just pick without trading? I think a lot of these, and this question is all about tiers, where you see a tier, and then obviously just how badly you want a specific player on your team. But if you come up and your pick is the 1-8, 1-9. This year, I don't see a ton of difference between that pick and the 1-12. So that's where I would be trying to trade back. 1-2 is another spot I've seen people trying to trade back. Maybe stay in that top 4 or 5, but move back from the second overall pick. But that's all easier said than done.
It is.
You know, you want to get good value for those picks. And you can't always do that. It's not always really possible. Even if you make maybe a below market value offer, a lot of people seem to feel pretty similarly about these rookies. So sometimes you are just forced to sit and take the player you like best. And that's not always a bad thing.
No, it's not. And not the strategies, but what I seem to find myself doing is, you know, you go into the draft, I got X amount of picks, so I have an idea who's going to be there with each of those picks, and I've done enough drafts that I usually end up with one of these couple guys. But one thing I absolutely do in every rookie draft is when you get that email draft notification, this guy goes off the board, and it wasn't somebody you wanted, you know, or it wasn't somebody you had ranked higher than who you, not somebody you would have taken. And that happens a couple times. Then I start going, okay, now it's time to be aggressive. I can't believe this dude is still on the board. He's my 12th ranked player, and it's pick 17. Now it's time to be aggressive to go get him.
Yeah, I was going to say, I feel like doing a couple drafts with you and talking through rookie drafts with you on here, it seems like you're more of a trade up kind of guy than trade back. Do you think that's usually the case?
Yeah, I guess so. I mean, now that I think about it, is when somebody's fallen, I pounce. And maybe that even cost me a future first or whatever. Or one thing I noticed I do too is I'll trade a lot of my picks before the draft for young players I like, and then go, you know, use more picks to go up and get. I don't know. I mean, I'm trying to think what my trends are. I mean, the one trend I definitely have is, for example, Sony Michel was my 3rd ranked running back. And there's drafts where he lasts till 5, 6. I'm on the phone with those guys immediately, you know, looking to get into there. I mean, if I can get a guy on the cheap, I'm doing it.
Yeah, that actually works pretty well into our next question. This comes from Keegan. He says, what would Leo Pasiga have written about you in his notebooks recently? So, of course, Leo, one of our friends from DLF, we've had Leo on the show. It's been a long time. That was one of our first episodes. And he is pretty well known for keeping a Dynasty notebook on all of his leagues and league mates, kind of scouting them out. Those are a couple of the things that you mentioned that Leo might have been noticing about you if you were in a league together. Anything else that stands out?
I don't know. I mean, I like my guys. I mean, one thing I absolutely noticed is if I'm in the part of a draft and I'm not excited about my pick, I'm not going to make it. I'm going to make a deal to get out. And I also think that when somebody you really like falls, it's never too much to go get them. I mean, obviously there's a price, but I mean, to pay the 1.7 price for a guy you have ranked 1.3, Michelle in this case, is good business no matter what. Even if it costs you a future pick that you didn't want to get rid of or a player you didn't want to get rid of. If it's a fair deal for 1.07, but you get 1.03, then it's a great deal. That makes sense. I kind of babbled there a little bit.
No, that, I think that does make sense. I was trying to think of some of my own trends, I guess, as you said, and this is probably a really important thing to go through is just to kind of do some self-analysis, because whatever you might notice about yourself, your league mates are probably noticing about you as well.
One thing I've noticed about you being in leagues with you, and certainly doing this podcast, but more so even being in leagues with you, that you've seen Top Gun, right?
Yes.
I mean, I feel like as an owner, I'm much more Maverick and you're much more Iceman. You know, that I'll make the giant move. Yeah, it's risky to go up, but you're no mistakes, steady. I never see you make a pick and I go, I don't understand that one. I mean, it's always a lot of doubles off the wall.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's probably fair.
Yeah, and it's a great way to live. I mean, no mistakes is huge.
Well, I wish that were really the case.
Right. Nobody does that.
Sure. All right, next question from Mike. How long-term versus short-term should our thinking be on rookie running backs in dynasty drafts? Penny looks to have a big opportunity early, but 2 years out, Chubb might well be the better bet. The short careers for running backs looms over all this, and he's exactly right in that. I still think you have to view running backs, even with some of these young, talented guys that we've seen enter the league the past 2 or 3 years, you have to view them in a shorter window than you might with running backs. I'm sorry, with wide receivers or quarterbacks, even just the injuries we've seen, the running back by committee, players go from starters to halftime players in less than a year's time. And that's not to say that Penny or Chubb or any of these other strong rookies from or strong players from this 2017 class would do that. But it has to be in the back of your mind. I think you have to view these running backs in like a 1 to 2 year window.
Yeah, I basically agree with you. So I think we agree that if a guy gets drafted to a bad situation where he's, quote, blocked, and we know that can change in the drop of a hat, like Kareem Hunt, that, you know, we saw what happened there, that running back more so than the other three positions, that's going to lose value for you, correct?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay. Do you agree with me that I would rather have Nick Chubb in a vacuum than Rashad Penny, especially for real football? But I mean, I think he's a better prospect than Penny.
Yes. Yeah.
But who do you have ranked higher right now?
I think I do actually have Chubb ranked higher, but
okay. I do too.
But they are in the same tier. And I mean, I think those are the ones Mike is asking about, or is at least using as an example. And those are two great ones, because obviously Chubb does have the tougher competition in front of him or beside him, at least, while Penny seems to have this clear path. And I think, you know, you have to consider that. That has to give a little bit.
Now, yeah.
Right. That has to give a little bit of an edge to Penny. Again, especially like you just said, if you are a contender, if you are in that win now, if you have that win now type team. So,
but what about like Rashad Jones? You know, neither one of us loved him. And I think I liked him a little more than you pre-draft, but what a great landing spot. I mean, if Chubb would have been a Buccaneer, he'd clearly be number two, right? In rookie drafts.
Right. Are you referring to Ronald Jones?
Right. Yeah. If the Bucs would have drafted Chubb instead of Jones, we would be all jumping on Chubb at 1-2, correct?
Yes. Yeah, I think so. I think so. And that's kind of that pre-draft analysis or evaluation of a player that comes into account. I mean, Jones certainly gained some value, quite a bit of value with that landing spot. But you're right. If it were Chubb or if it were Penny or Geis or any of those guys that at Tampa, then I think there wouldn't be much question about who the 1.2 was.
See, so, I still have question there though. Like if Penny would have went there, I would have him ranked where I have Jones. I don't think Penny and Jones are nearly as good as Geis, Michelle, Chubb. Okay. So I would not have elevated them for landing spot because Penny's landing spot's pretty darn good.
So to go back to Mike's original question, how much should we think long-term versus short-term? You're still weighing the talent pretty heavily here, regardless of situation.
Yeah, I am.
Okay. Another question with these rookie running backs, this one from Adam. How do Chubb, Penny, and Geis rank amongst some of the 2017 rookies? He mentions Fournette, Cook, Kamara, Hunt, Mixon, and McCaffrey.
Chubb, Penny, Geis. Okay.
So I've got my list here, and I don't know, maybe this isn't a surprise, but I've got all of the 2017 guys ahead of all the 2018 players.
Not Barkley, though.
No. Adam right. didn't mention Barkley. He would be
different beast.
Yeah, he would certainly be in the mix at the top of the list. But with the players he mentioned, the 2017 guys, along with Chubb, Penny, and Geis, let's just go. Do you have yours here ready?
Yeah, I do.
Okay, let's go one for one. I've got Kamara at the top.
Yes.
I have Kareem Hunt next.
I have Cook, but then okay. Hunt.
Yep, I have Hunt and then Cook, so that's pretty close there. I have McCaffrey next.
I have Fournette.
And I have Fournette after him.
I go Fournette, Mixon, McCaffrey.
All right, so I've got those same three, McCaffrey, Fournette, Mixon, and then I have the three rookies, Geis, Chubb, and Penny.
Yeah, I then go Geis, Michelle, Chubb, Penny. Penny's my 22. That's the lowest guy. I bet you're higher on him than – no, I have Jones 20. I'm sorry. I got Jones 20, Penny 22. So I have them down in the Derrick Henry, Jordan Howard, Kenyon Drake range.
Yeah, I'd say you're certainly lower than consensus on Penny. Rashad Penny, which we'll see what happens. Are you worried about the offensive line? Are you worried about the offense in general? Do you just not love the player?
I don't love the player. I don't love the situation. I think that offense is going to be bad. I think they're going to lose a lot of games. The line is far from perfect, but I also think a new offensive line coach will help, and I think there's more talent on that line than people realize. So I like the situation more than I like the player with Penny.
Okay. So it's not that offensive line or the
it factors in.
Yeah, but it's more the talent or
like you'd much rather Penny than Derrick Henry or Jordan Howard or Drake?
Yes.
Okay. Fair enough. I hear you. I mean, there's a good argument for that.
All right. John has a couple of questions. Buy low running backs that you think will have immediate production. So some cheap running backs that we might get some numbers out of this year, maybe even be able to plug in as bye week starters. I've got a few. Any come to your mind?
What's the asking price on Tevin Coleman? Because I think he could be a big time guy next year.
Yeah,
in a McKinnon type way.
I think he's going to cost a first rounder, probably a late first rounder. I bought him for the 1.11 in a rookie draft recently.
I'd rather have Coleman than 1.11. So I guess he's a buy for me.
I went a little deeper on my list. Rex Burkhead. I think he could certainly still see some significant playing time and play a role this year. You're probably down on him if you like Michelle as much as you do. Is that true?
I do. Although I think Burkhead's a really good player. I don't know that Jeremy Hill or certainly Gillislee will make that team. Burkhead was the goal line guy and he can do a lot of things for you. So I don't have any qualms with that.
With Tariq Burkhead.
Cohen, go ahead. I'm sorry.
I was just going to say with Burkhead, I'm actually more worried about injuries than I am Sony Michel's role or James White or anybody else there. Really last year was his first year to have a chance at some significant playing time. And he had trouble staying healthy. So I'm worried that might be a trend.
Kenneth Dixon's a guy I can't quit. And my hunch is the Ravens agree with me because they didn't draft the running back. Collins is only signed for one more year. I think Dixon's not done yet and you can get him awfully cheap right now.
I've seen him on some waiver wires even.
Wow.
Yeah. Some other guys I had written down, Isaiah Crowell, I think is just kind of being forgotten. I think he's a better player than than Bilal Powell. So I expect him to see the bulk of those carries. I don't know if those will be good carries, but we've seen Crowell and Forte be productive in recent years. So no matter what that Jets team looks like in the win-loss column, Crowell could be a value. Gio Bernard is would probably top this list for me. Kind of like Burkhead, I don't think he is done as a fantasy option, even with Mixon there in Cincinnati. If you can figure out the Oakland situation, those veterans are certainly cheap, Lynch and Martin. I'm kind of staying away from that, but those two would be options. Corey Clement in Philadelphia is actually starting to get some buzz. He may not be a buy low option much longer. And then Theo Riddick, kind of old reliable PPR running back from the Lions, of course.
What about Darren Sproles? Like, he was available in a rookie draft. You know how some people might not know this, but if the veterans aren't on a team, you can draft them in a rookie draft. I almost took him like with my fifth round pick.
Yeah, I mean, he ends up on waiver wires this time of year, every offseason pretty much, and then he just continues to produce. Of course, he had that nasty injury last year and missed a big chunk of the year. I actually kind of thought he was done. I thought he would either retire or the Eagles would just go ahead and part ways with him. But he's back, and there's talk that Wendell Smallwood or one of these other young guys, maybe two of those young guys, will not make the team. But Sproles already seems like a lock very early in this process.
He's definitely the best receiver on that team at the back position. Who knows? I mean, I don't know. I could see him he's never going to win the week for you.
No, but he's another guy that's on waiver wire. So
yeah,
for free, if you have an open roster spot, not a bad option.
You could start him when your guys are all on buys and, you know, you can live with it.
Yeah.
While I have everyone's attention, I want to tell everyone about Harry's. And I've said this to you many times, but I can't stress it enough, that they hooked me years before Dynasty Blueprint was ever in existence. And they were a sponsor for another podcast I did, and I tried them out, and I'm hooked. I mean, I use them every day. That's no lie. I've been telling you that forever. Harry stands behind the quality of their blades. They know that switching razors is not an easy decision, so they've made it really easy here for you to try. So they created this trial offer. Claim yours by going to harrys.com/dynasty. Harry's delivers a close, comfortable shave at a fair price. Their founders were fed up with overpaying for expensive razors with all kinds of unnecessary features. They knew a great shave comes down to great blades made with sharp, durable steel that lasts. That's why they bought a factory that's been making some of the highest quality blades in the world for now over 95 years. By selling directly to you over the internet, Harry's can offer their blades at a price much lower than the leading brand. It's only $2 a blade, as opposed to $4, $5, $6 that you'll find with these other ones. Quality guarantee. If you don't love your shave, let Harry's know within 30 days and they'll give you a full refund. So there's nothing to lose here. So you get a $13 value trial set that comes with everything you need for a close, comfortable shave. A weighted, wonderful handle, five blade razor with a lubricating strip and a trimmer blade, rich lathering shave gel, and a travel blade cover. Listeners of our show can redeem their trial set at harrys.com/dynasty. Make sure you go to harrys.com/dynasty to redeem your offer and let them know that we sent you to help support our show.
Next question comes from Brazil. Should I sell veteran wide receivers like Julio Jones and AJ Green for running backs with upside? He mentions Tevin Coleman, Ronald Jones, plus future first. And he says he heard the 2019 class is wide receiver heavy. It sure is. I just finished a rookie mock draft for 2019 that will be released at DLF in the next few days. And I think of the 12 players that I projected in the first round, I think 9 were wide receivers, I believe. So think about what this year looked like, running backs versus receivers in that first round, and just flip it around. That's what we might see.
Quick question next for season. You.
Yep.
As we've talked about, and as you just said, it's a very strong receiver draft. Is it also a weak running back draft?
I think it is. I mean, you've got David Montgomery, who is probably viewed as the top you can say dynasty, Devy, whatever, however you want to view that right now, the top fantasy prospect. Of course, Bryce Love from Stanford, who went back to school. I have some concerns about him, but he'll have that name value at least as a Heisman. Probably we can probably say Heisman front runner heading into the college football season at this point. And then obviously several other guys, but I think it's just a shallow class, I would say.
Okay. That's kind of what I've heard too. And look, the research I've done, there's not a ton of names.
So again, his question, are we selling veterans like Julio Jones and AJ Green for Coleman in a first, Ronald Jones in a first? I personally would want more than that.
Yeah.
Quite a bit more actually. And this depends on the
roster
state of your team.
A lot, big time.
Right. If you're rebuilding, then I probably don't want running backs in general. I'd rather have multiple first round picks, or I'd rather have some young wide receivers that will not only last through my rebuild, but when I am ready to contend, they're still going to be producing.
See, I think that's the point to make here. That was great by you, but saying, you know, if you're struggling, I don't know what situation I would say it's a good idea to trade AJ Green for Coleman in a first. You know what I mean? Like,
I don't think there is.
Right.
One.
Like,
yeah.
What state of your team makes that a smart move? I can't come up with it.
No, I think in the bottom line here is that you need more for those guys. I understand wanting to sell them at this point of their career. I have made a couple trades dealing those guys away, but I've just tried to take that step down. Devontae Adams is a guy I've targeted. I'm not sure you can do that anymore.
I'm sure you love Amari still.
Right. Cooper would still be a target for me at that point.
What if you went down another tier, like Corey Davis or Juju in a first for Green or Julio?
I think that's reasonable. And to me, Corey Davis or Juju are worth quite a bit more than Tevin Coleman or Ronald Jones. So if you're getting a guy like that plus a pick, I can see that deal. Allen Robinson would be another player to maybe target in that move down. Jarvis Landry, I still like. I know people are worried about him in this new situation. So I don't mind the idea. I just want more out of that deal.
Yeah. I mean, if I want young veterans, I want them to be wide receivers.
Right. Next question from Chris. If you were at 1-2 or 1-3 and you could pick up an additional second by trading back, how far back would you feel comfortable trading? So again, we talked about moving back in rookie drafts earlier in the show. If I'm at 1-2 or 1-3, I think the tier maybe goes down to 5. So I want to stay in that tier. And if I have a favorite guy, like yours might be Michelle or Chubb, whether it's those guys or Penny or guys, whoever it might be, I don't think a future second or an additional second is necessarily worth losing your guy. Now, if you value all four of those guys, or if you want to include Jones in that group or whoever it might be, if you value all those players about the same and you're happy to get any of them, then sure, grab the extra second. But other than that, I'm probably just sticking with my pick. It depends on how you view the tiers and how you value the players.
Yeah. And it's funny because I have one more rookie draft. I mean, like I said, I'm in like 6 or 7 leagues. This team's pretty bad and it's rebuilding and it's young and I have some pieces, but I have 1-2 and then I don't pick again until 2-2. I've got 2-10. I've got 3/3. I've got a bunch of futures. So I have equity to move up, but sitting there at 2-2, Barkley's going to be gone. But my tier is Barkley's on a tier, Michelle and Geis are on a tier, and then, you know, the next guys, Jones and Penny and that crew, Chubb. So I offered a dude that has 2-3. I offered him 2-2 and 3-9 for 1-3 and 2-9. So I wanted him to drop around to move one pick, and he wrote me a nasty letter back saying no chance in hell. Because Michelle and Geis are the same to me. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to take Geis at 2, and I hope Michelle falls to 5-6 like most people have them, and then I'm going to try to bundle up a bunch of picks and try to get both.
Yeah, I like that plan. I think that does make sense. trading back in that situation would be probably ideal. But like we said earlier, sometimes it's easier said than done. You just can't
find
that right partner.
And I could trade probably to 2-4 and probably get Geis or Michelle. And if I didn't, I could still get out of that pick. I mean, but I'll probably just stick at 2 and hope Michelle falls and hope he doesn't listen to the show.
Next question comes from Thad. Can you make the case to take an elite wide receiver, age 25 or 26? He's mentioning Hopkins and OBJ here versus elite running backs who are younger in that 20 to 23 range. Barkley, Elliott, Kamara. And he says, I know wide receivers play longer, get hurt less, but the running backs are 3 to 5 years younger, and they're scoring just as many fantasy points. So if you look at the latest Dynasty ADP, you still have Hopkins and Beckham near the top. They're certainly ahead of all of these other guys that were mentioned, Barkley, Zeke, Kamara. What do you think here? How are you valuing these receivers in general versus the running backs?
Well, you know, like how dog years are supposed to like multiply 7 or whatever. I feel like that he's talking about really the same age of players, you know, that Elliott and Odell are really the same age, give or take. You know what I mean? Like running back years to wide receiver conversion chart that, yeah, they're young, but Odell's going to play longer, most likely, you know, that. So you can make a strong argument that you should take Keenan Allen ahead of Kareem Hunt. You know what I mean? Like, I think they're kind of equal. So just depends how you want to build.
Right. So I think what you have to look at, and I can't remember who did this work. I wish I could. I believe it was over at Football Guys, and it's been years now. But they used to talk about quality years remaining.
Yeah, that's a good way of looking at it, right.
So Beckham might be 25 or 26, and Zeke is 22 or 3, whatever he is. But maybe they have the same amount of quality years remaining, or maybe even Beckham has more.
Right.
So you can't, I don't think it's fair just to compare age to age with these players across position.
Right. I agree. However, I also think I put a little more value in a back that's an every down guy. I mean, I think that's a rarity, even though we're seeing more of them. And because of that, if I'm in a startup, I probably lean towards those top stud, do it all, high touch running backs over the Adams and Allen and Thomas types, because I also think that there's a receiver that I'll feel a lot more comfortable starting and liking in the fourth round than running back.
So let's focus on Barkley a little bit, since he's kind of the new guy in the group. If you're doing a startup dynasty draft right now, how high are you taking him?
Well, he's my third running back behind Gurley and Zeke. And I might move him to 2 because I'm worried about the Cowboys offense this year.
Right.
And Elliott hasn't proven to me that he's a able and ample receiver.
I actually did the same thing today. I updated my running back rankings and moved Barkley to 2.
Wow. Okay. Yeah, I'm really leaning towards the 2 as I sit here and look at these. And I think I would take Barkley probably if I had the 1-2 pick. But I would really try to trade back.
So you're taking Barkley over – are you taking Barkley over Hopkins or
– Yeah, over any receiver.
So to Thad's question, you are in general good with Barkley or Zeke or Kamara, at least in the same conversation versus Hopkins and Beckham.
Yes, I am.
Is Gurley your number one overall?
Yes, but boy, if I had 1-1, I would really be looking to get to 1-6 and pick something up and get one of these guys and let them decide who I end up with.
Yeah, I want to I think we're going to have time here as we get through these last couple of questions. We've got some brand new June ADP data, and I want to go through just the first round with you. But This is all making me think the end of the first round is really the place to be in a startup draft this year. If you have your choice, and I know a lot of leagues do that, they allow owners to pick their spot. If you can pick that 9, 10, 11, 12 spot, I think you're going to be very happy with your start.
See, I'm sitting here thinking I'd want like five or six so that I get Odell, Hopkins, Gurley, Barkley, Elliott, Johnson, in that neighborhood.
Well, we'll take a look at the first round. And I think, like I said, I think you'd be happy with it. Next question from Tyson. How do we value 2019 first compared to 2018 first? Also, did 2018 live up to the hype it had for 2 years?
Did they ever live up to the hype?
Yeah.
there's a lot of hype. Fair. Yeah.
Well, I mean, 2017 lived up to the hype now that we're a year in, right?
No, yeah, you're right. The Kamaras and Hunts that we didn't see coming or home runs.
Yeah, that guys like that helped. I don't know. Maybe this is just short-sightedness or a short memory on my part. I don't know how much hype there was. I mean, obviously Barkley
was kind of quarterback hype,
right? Barkley kind of carried the class as far as the attention he got.
But this time last year, Geis and Barkley were kind of neck and neck too, though, weren't they?
I'd say they were closer, and you would still see the occasional analyst or just any dynasty player who would prefer Geis, and those people have either changed their mind or just decided to be quiet.
right.
You know, it's almost unanimous. We've got at DLF, we have rookie draft ADP that we have pulled from MFL. There's right around 1,000 actual rookie drafts that have taken place, and wow, and this pulls in the data.
Let's go over it. I think that's really interesting.
And I know that whatever the formula is kicks out the outliers. So the top, maybe the top 5% and the bottom 5% of picks are booted out of the data to kind of get that.
That's good. Yeah.
That middle subset. But Barkley's ADP across several hundred drafts is 1.0. Just one. Number one overall.
Okay. It's just not even 1.04. I mean, it's
right.
Consensus.
It's just one.
Okay. Like, have you ever seen that? Like, was Elliott like that?
Yeah. I mean, again, if you eliminate those outliers, then yeah, I think Elliott was like that. Maybe Reggie Bush was like that, but
that's going back away.
Yes. Yeah. It's fairly rare. Going back to Tyson's question, 2019 first versus 2018 first, I think it's pretty similar to every year. If I get down to the 1.9, 1.10, 1.11 range, the end of the first, I would consider selling that pick for a random future first. We've talked a little bit about the 2019 class, loaded at wide receiver, David Montgomery at running back, Bryce Love at running back, a couple other guys. I think quarterback is going to be similar to this year in that there's going to be some volume, but I think we're looking at a full step down. So to me, the best quarterback prospect at this point is Justin Herbert from Oregon.
Yeah.
And I would put him behind at least
Mayfield. And
yeah, at least three or four of these guys in this class. So I think there we might see three or maybe even four first round NFL draft quarterbacks. But the quality overall, I think is a step lower than what we've got this year.
There was one phrase you used though, that I don't think applies during a rookie draft in real time. And when you're actually making trades, is a random future first, because at least this upcoming year, a future 19 first, because I really think if you're making a trade for a future first, you can't say, boy, this is going to be 1.12 or this is going to be 1.1, but I put them in three groups, early, middle, late, you know, sure. And you could get burned, but this team's a contender. It's going to be a late one. You know, that's a lot different than, boy, this guy doesn't know what the heck he's doing. I want his first and I'll give you everything in the world for it.
Yeah. Yeah. That's fair. But in general, I think the way we're valuing 18 first versus 19 first is pretty much the same we always do. I know on an earlier episode, immediately after the draft, I had said I'd prefer all of these first rounders versus a 2019 first. And I don't think that's the case anymore. If it gets down to Sutton, Ridley range,
Kerryon Johnson.
Yeah. I'm probably willing to sell for a future first, especially if I do think it has a chance to be a non-playoff first.
Mm-hmm. And it sure is nice going through the season with an extra future first. If you know, come trade deadline and you're a contender and that gets you, I don't know. I mean, you end up getting Zach Ertz out of it or something and you needed a tight end, you know, like having those cards in your hand during the season to make a run, to put money in your wallet is sure nice to have.
Right.
How does Hunter Henry's injury affect his status on your rankings? We haven't talked about him going down because he's out for the year.
Right. Out for the year. I don't think I've updated my rankings with my tight end rankings. I need to do that. I'm not sure I'm going to move him much, honestly.
I just did. I moved him from 5 to 6.
Well, that's not much.
Right. I put the Joku over him, but I didn't move Howard over him. And mostly because I don't like any of the tight ends. You know, like from 5 to 20, I don't want any of them.
Yeah, I think.
Kind of.
I'm going to see where I have him.
Oh, let me give you some names. I mean, I got Njoku at 5, Henry at 6, Howard at 7. Then there's a big gap to me in Kyle Rudolph and Jimmy Graham and George Kittle and Olsen and Burton. I can't put Henry below any of those guys, Rudolph or Graham or Kittle.
Yeah, my tiers look a little different. Right now, again, before any update, I've got Henry at 5, so same spot you had him. Okay. I have Njoku at 6, and I think I probably
would. Move them?
I think I would make that flip-flop at the very least, like you did. Then I've got a couple of guys you didn't mention. I've got Trey Burton at 7 and Mike Gesicki at 8. And then I have Howard. So
do you love Burton and Gesicki, or do you just hate all these guys I keep mentioning, like Kyle Rudolph and Graham? Yeah,
a little bit of both. And I mean, knowing the market a little bit on the tight ends, I feel like I can overpay for Burton or Gesicki and still be able to get Rudolph or Ebron or Olsen or Delanie Walker cheap and be just fine. Them. Right.
I mean, that's a nice thing. That's one thing that holds me back with Njoku and Howard and, you know, Gesicki it's really hard to click the box to start those guys in week one.
Yeah. You're ranking those guys as tight end ones, sometimes as mid tight end ones, like I had them. And then it comes week one and you can't put him in your lineup. So
you have Jordan Reed or something, hopefully, or, you know, and he's healthy by chance, or Eifert or somebody like that.
By chance.
Yeah, maybe one of those is healthy. Right.
It's one of those fluky weeks where he's active.
Right. Charles Clay's a guy I like for that, though. Like, I can get him for nothing.
Yeah.
But I love having him on my roster.
Well, Walker as well.
Good point.
I was looking at the numbers last week. Delanie Walker's been a top 5 tight end 3 years in a row.
That doesn't surprise me. And I don't see it dropping off this year, even if Corey Davis gets more of a market share and all that. Walker's a good player.
Yeah, yeah. All right, last question. Actually, we've got 3 questions from Jerry. We'll try to get to all of them. How do the values of Mike Evans and OBJ compare now, and what is their rough value in future picks? So those are a couple interesting players to compare. Of course, Beckham is mm-hmm. – had the leg up in value pretty much throughout their careers. And actually, just last year when Beckham suffered that season-ending injury, according to our ADP, Evans basically moved up into a tie or even slightly ahead of Odell. And now it's gone the other way. I mentioned this earlier on Twitter. Beckham's ADP right now is 11.8. That is the lowest it's been since November of 2014. That was his rookie year. So for, 3.5 years, I guess? That's his lowest ADP in 3.5 years. His value is heading in the wrong direction. Beckham is maintaining. He's the first player overall in our June ADP. So the value of these guys is growing more and more different, maybe every day. Their value in future picks, I mean, I think both are still worth multiple first rounders. I don't think you can acquire either one with just rookie picks unless you're somehow paying.
I mean, Barkley would get you, I mean, without Barkley involved, but would you rather have Odell or 1-2 and 1-3?
Odell. Yeah.
I actually just pulled up a trade I made. I traded Odell and Hyperactive 2 in February. So I got back a future first, pick 312, who cares, Corey Coleman, OJ Howard, and Keenan Allen. Like, would you do Keenan Allen and a future first for Odell? That in itself I thought was pretty even.
Yeah, I mean, I think I was worried until you got to Keenan Allen.
Right. I saved the best for last, yeah.
Yeah. Allen is a guy whose value is growing as well. So, and it's actually pretty close to Mike Evans at this point. Those
right.
are probably good guys to compare. I think you did okay in that deal. If you think that Howard is maybe worth a late first, early second,
mm-hmm.
Who was the other? Corey Coleman. His
312 and Corey Coleman are throw-ins and
yeah.
get something out of it. But
so, I mean, maybe you could have gotten a little bit more out of that deal, but not much. Mm-hmm. But as far as Evans and Beckham versus future draft picks, which is what Jerry's asking, I mean, they're both worth, I'd say they're both worth at least three first rounders. Now, like you mentioned earlier, if you know one of those is the heavy favorite to be the 101, that changes things. If you know all three of those are coming from playoff teams, that changes things. And that's why we use that term random first. I think they're each worth at least three random first. Beckham probably worth more than that.
I also traded Evans in another league. This is back in April. So pre-draft, I traded Evans, Isaiah Crowell, 3-5 and Bilal Powell. They're not really worth anything. But basically, Isaiah Crowell and Evans for Michael Thomas. That's the good part. 110, a future second, Malcolm Mitchell, Devontae Booker before they drafted Freeman.
Yeah. See, there, I think you did well. I mean, at this
point,
that was
a no-brainer. He offered me that. I said, accept.
Yeah. At this point, Thomas and Evans are value-wise essentially interchangeable.
I can make the argument I'd rather have Thomas.
Sure.
Yeah.
Jerry also asked about Alex Collins. Couldn't give away Alex Collins during our rookie draft. Am I lucky he's still on my roster? I know you've got some doubts about Alex Collins in general, but
I'm a Dixon fan, but I think Collins is pretty good. He's young.
And he's the starter.
He's a starter. He was good last year.
I mean, I certainly wouldn't want to give him away. Would you trade him for an early second rounder where you draft Gallup or Miller or Gesicki or somebody like that?
Probably not. If I'm a contender, I'd probably give up 111-ish for him. Like, I'd rather, kind of like the Tevin Coleman conversation, but I'd rather have Coleman.
Okay. I think I would sell for a second rounder and get.
I have him right next to Royce Freeman in my list. So although Freeman's going like 1-9.
Right, so sounds like actually you're kind of high on Alex Collins.
Yeah, and I'm also high on Dixon, though. So I'm giving up future thirds for Dixon, though. I mean, I'm just taking a shot.
Yeah. All right, before we wrap up here, I do want to share our first round of our new June ADP. We'll roll through this really quickly and get out of here. I already mentioned it. Odell Beckham is sitting at the top still, so he's has an ADP of 1.8. Any problem with Beckham as the top guy off the board?
Wouldn't be my pick, but I totally get it. He's awesome. I mean, okay. He scored so many touchdowns.
So for quite a while, it's been Beckham and Hopkins at the top. It's different this month. It's Todd Gurley, second overall. His ADP actually is 2.0. He went first overall in a couple of the drafts we did. So he's our second guy. You already mentioned he was your top pick, so no issue there, I'm sure.
No.
Hopkins comes in third, just right behind Gurley, 2.2, an ADP of 2.2. And those are pretty clearly the top three players based on our data.
I'd probably pick Hopkins around 1.5, 1.6. I'd rather Barkley, Elliott, David Johnson. I'm in the minority, but
yeah, I can get behind Barkley and Elliott. Maybe Johnson is tougher for me versus Hopkins, but those are the next three guys off the board. Elliott is fourth, Barkley is fifth. I threw this out on Twitter earlier today, and of course that got a lot of feedback that Barkley is now a top five player according to our Dynasty ADP, and without playing an NFL game yet. Some people had some concerns about that. David Johnson is sixth, so that's the first half of the first round. Beckham, Gurley, Hopkins, Elliott, Barkley, and David Johnson. Is it Hopkins, the one guy in that group that you're probably not going to have on many of your rosters?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sounds
like there's nothing against them. It's just, I like those backs.
Yeah. All right. Number seven overall is Antonio Brown. And actually kind of a tie, I guess, for seventh. Antonio Brown and Le'Veon Bell, both the Steelers, have an ADP of 7.5. So they slot in seventh and eighth in whichever order you want to put them.
And I'd much rather have AB than Bell, and I have Kamara ahead of Bell.
I would agree on both of those. Yeah.
Okay. And I'm leaning towards Cook over Bell, but I can't quite do that.
Yeah, I'm close. I, as we said earlier, I've got Hunt ahead of Cook, but I've got them both right behind Le'Veon Bell in my running back rankings. So we've got the Steelers teammates at 7.5. That was 7 and 8. 8 and 9, another pair of teammates, Michael Thomas and Alvin Kamara. So again, we were talking about Thomas versus Evans, and Thomas does show up ahead of Evans in this month's ADP. That's the first time that's happened, I think, in maybe ever, actually.
I bet, yeah.
Any issue with Thomas or Kamara late in the first round?
No, I think Kamara, that's a good value for me on Kamara. I do have Evans slightly over Thomas.
Yeah, you do have Evans over Thomas?
Yeah, but I could be convinced either way.
Yeah, okay. And those are the guys I was thinking of when I said you pick in that back half of the first, you get one of the Saints, and then you come back early in the second round and you get Hunt or Adams or Cook or Fournette or Cooper.
And that is now, a nice start.
Right, versus if you're at the top of the draft, you're getting
Gurley or Odell.
Right, you're getting Beckham or Gurley, and then late in the second, you're getting Melvin Gordon or Allen Robinson or somebody like that.
AJ Green, maybe.
Right, right.
Okay.
The rest of the first round, we'll just finish it up. So it was Thomas and Kamara at 9 and 10. Mike Evans is 11. Keenan Allen is 12. So Keenan Allen sneaks into the first round. That leaves Julio Jones, Hunt, Adams, Cook, Fournette, Cooper, Green, Diggs, McCaffrey, Gordon. Those are kind of the next several names that are making up that second round.
It's funny because my top six running backs and my top six wide receivers are the 12 names you named. And I think Dalvin Cook would be my 13th pick. If I was sitting there 201 and those 12 were gone, I'd probably take Dalvin Cook.
So Cook entered the league with a little bit of an injury history at Florida State. And we know how his rookie season went for him. Are you worried about injuries or durability or any of that with Hunt?
And I don't love their offensive line either.
With Cook?
A little, yeah. I mean, he's smaller. He has all those things you said. That's really my only knocks on him. And we just haven't seen a lot of him in a Vikings uniform, you know. So he gets a little bit of an incomplete grade, but I still am pretty high on him.
Yeah, the upside is too big for you.
Yeah.
All right. Thanks, Matt. Thanks to all our listeners for the questions. We appreciate those. And we will be back next week with more Dynasty Blueprint.